privilege and honor to hear this afternoon, especially those who visited with us. We want you to know that we appreciate so very much your coming to be with us. The rest of it, I expected you here. But anyway, it's good to see you. Some of you I haven't seen in a while, but I've met you in other times that I've been here. It's always a joy to be in Crockett and to share with you the greatest story ever told. Some of you have asked about my wife. I had some health issues and could not be with me during this meeting, and I regretted that she could not be here. And I'm asking to pray for her. They're not serious, but nevertheless, they are health issues that keep her from doing everything that she would like to do anyway. So please pray for her. Her name is Sherry. Can you believe that at one time I was a skinny runner? I know it doesn't look that way, you know. I eat breakfast every Tuesday morning. A number of us Christian men in Rogers, Arkansas, we get together and we eat. And one of the fellows that I eat with, he's a little bitty guy, and he told me that when he joined the service, he weighed 90 pounds. Could not believe that. I said, "How'd you get in?" He said, "They told me to go off the nerves. That way more, you know." Well, I did everything in the world when I was in there. See, I was that skinny. Matter of fact, my sister, Penny, hopes that you know her, you know, she used to tell about my other two sisters, you know, they're way older than I am. Matter of fact,
you may not make it out of this week.
Well, I'm going to have a birthday this week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you how old she is. But I will tell you this, on the 25th of August, I'll be 70, and she's 10 years older than I am. I hope she is, you know. But anyway, the lady and I, they all married, the dad married when I was 7 years old. So Lady and I grew up together, but I was more of a pest than I was a brother, you know. And she loved to tell about that I'd get mad at her. My mother worked at a little grocery store down the road a piece. I'd get mad and I'd say, "I'm going to go tell mother of you." And she said, "The little skinny legs take off running." And I was a runner. I was. You know, I weighed 126 pounds when I graduated from high school. I played first grade football, by the way. I played halfback. People said, "How did you play halfback when you were so small?" I said, "When you're that small, you run fast when you see those big guys coming." So anyway, I was just living, you know. And the bad thing about being living is that you don't measure up. And so, you know, back before we had Little League baseball and all that kind of stuff, we had Sandlot baseball, you know. Plenty of you guys played Sandlot baseball, maybe some of you girls, I don't know. But anyway, but you know, we'd choose up, and this would be the captain, and that would be the captain, and all the rest of us would be around, and they'd be choosing one or the other. And here's Johnny, that's what they call me back home, Johnny. And here's Johnny saying, "You know, I'm the one. Of course, I'm the skinny. And I'm not the best athlete in the world, I made it at all. My coordination is not the best. I struck out more often than I ever hit the ball." So they didn't, I wasn't good enough to be on their team. So usually I'm the last guy to be chosen, you know. And that's just the way it was, you know. And then that went on. I just don't seem to be good enough, you know, to do some of the things in life. And, you know, the world is in the process of telling all of us that we're not good enough. If you look at the television, is always saying you're not good enough, you're not rich enough, you're not good looking enough, you don't have enough, you don't drive the right car, you don't have the right this or that, you live in the right house, and we don't measure up. And so many people spend most of their lives trying to measure up, because none of us like to be rejected. We all want to be accepted, you know. And that's the way that I was. And I'll be honest with you, I had, because of the fact that I was small and usually the last one chosen, I got to be a loudmouth. That's why I'm a good preacher. Because I learned to talk. I learned to push my way into situations, you know, where that I would be accepted. and where that I would be invited. Sometimes they would have parties and they would invite me at first, but before it's over with, they invite me because I make sure that they're dead, you know. I manipulated those things because I just wanted to be accepted. Let me tell you what, folks, people are like that. People will hurt you. People will humiliate you. People will judge you. But I serve a God who will never hurt you. I serve a God who will never humiliate you. I serve a God who will never judge you. But He will help you, He will heal you, and He will raise you up to be the kind of person that you ought to be. That's what I do. I serve a living God. I serve a great God, a gracious God. I serve a God who loves me more than anything that I could ever think about. I want you to know tonight that if you're a child of God, if you're in a relationship with Him, I want you to know that tonight God is loving you. He loves everybody, but He's loving you. He wants you to become all that you're capable of becoming. But you've got to believe in yourself. Number one, you know. There's a passage in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Paul has gone through that whole Roman letter there up to that point in time. Chapter 1, he says the Gentiles are sinners. Chapter 2, he says the Jews are sinners. Chapter 3, he says, hey, everybody's a sinner. There's not righteous. No, not one. But in chapter 4, he says you can have faith. And that faith can do wonderful things. And he talks about the faith of Abraham in chapter 4. In chapter 5, he talks about through one man sent into the world, but also through one man came the righteousness of God. Chapter 6, he tells us what we can do about getting and gaining that righteousness. He says, I want you to understand what you did, when you did what you did. And that is, you were baptized into Christ, you were buried with the Lord in baptism, and you were raised to walk in newness of life. That newness of life is not the oldness of life, but it's the newness. Yes, you still have the Adamic nature. You still have that propensity to sin, but you have been given a new life with a new purpose, with new desires, and you've been filled with the Spirit of God who's going to help you and maintain you in that road. You know, sometimes people talk about getting the Spirit, and they'll say, well, I got the Spirit. One of the questions asked, well, how did you jump? Let me tell you, the Spirit don't cause you to jump high, but it will cause you to walk straighter than you've ever walked before. And that's the thing you have to ask the question is, it's not how high did you jump, but how straight are you walking if you've got the Spirit of God in your life. But that's the wonderful thing. But Romans chapter 8 comes down to, and he says, I want you to understand that. In the verse 1, he says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That's a wonderful, that's a promising verse that you and I as children of God need to understand. And he says, look, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You don't stand condemned. You don't stand in guilt. You're free from sin. You're free from guilt. You're free from condemnation. And you know where you're going. You've got your focus on heaven. You set your eyes upon that which is the Lord has promised us. And Paul said, if you've been raised with Christ, in Colossians chapter 3 and 1, seek the things which are above. And that's what we do as children of God. And, but he talks about that in the book. You don't have it. But if you go down to about verse 31, he sort of sums up the idea of these words. If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, let me tell you what. I get so excited when I think about those passages of Scripture. Like I said, I want to shout. You know, every once in a while we said those words and we're not sure that we can use them, you know. I'd like the song Revives Again. Don, you know that song? Yeah, Revives Again, you know. You get down to the horse and he says, Hallelujah. You know, we're scared of that word. We're afraid to say Hallelujah, you know, but we slip it in that song, you know. But that way we can do it, you know, and nobody can think anything about us. Matter of fact, Brother Rob was teaching a kid for a cohort. And he had him sing that word, Hallelujah. And I says, are you here? Oh, he's got to. He says, Hallelujah. And so, let me tell you, when you get to thinking about that verse, if God is for us, who can be against us? You want to shout Hallelujah. You know, and it's all right. We need to praise God. God is great. God is wonderful. But listen to the next verse. If He spared not His own Son, shall we not with Him freely give us all things? Do you think that you're a nobody? Do you think that you're not good enough? I want you to know that the God of heaven, the God who created the universe, the God who created everything in this world, the God who has the power to stop this universe, and one of these days he will. He'll stop this old world turning. One of these days everything will be like that. That God loved you so much and thought you were so important and thought you were so needful that he did not spare his own son. Let me ask you. Like Paul said, if you think that you're that important, if you think that God would not spare his own son, don't you think that God is going to give you everything else you need? You don't have to worry. But we still have that problem. Sometimes we don't think we're good enough. Maybe I know my sweet mother, who lived here in the nursing home, bless her heart, literally 96 years of age, and she is a sweet lady. And there was times when she could be something else, you know. But in her latter years, especially, she was a sweet lady. But mother had a problem. Because of the way she was raised, and because of the way she went to church for years and years in this area. And it was this, she would always ask me, John, I don't think I'm good enough. Do you ever feel that? She'd say, John, I don't think I've done enough. And you know what my reply always was? Mother, you aren't and you haven't. You aren't good enough. And you haven't done enough. Because, sweetheart, that's not what gets us to heaven. We get to heaven because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it is through that man called Jesus that you and I are going to get to heaven. There's only one problem in the world, and that's a problem called sin. There's only one thing that's going to keep you out of heaven, and it's called sin. But there is only one thing that's going to get you to heaven, and that is called Jesus. Jesus the man. Jesus the Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. You and I need one. It's not the church that's going to get us to heaven. It's Jesus that is going to get us to heaven. That's why he says, don't let any man suffer as a thief or a murderer, Peter does. He said, don't let any man suffer as a thief. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify the Father which is in heaven. So if you have that problem of thinking that, well, I don't know that I've done enough, or maybe I'm not good enough, you know, I want you to know that you're not by yourself. I remember a man that God called to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And one of the first things he did is basically he said, why do you want me? I'm not good enough. Yeah. He tried to offer excuses for not doing what God wanted him to do because he felt so inadequate. You know, he come up with that burning bush. God said, take off your shoes, Moses, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. He knew what kind of man. Hey, don't forget, Moses had murdered a man back in Egypt. That's why he had to leave. Because of the fact that he murdered a person. His anger got the best of him. And so he was aware of that. He was aware of where he lived. And so he felt inadequate. I'm not good enough. But God said, oh, yeah, you're good enough. If you weren't good enough, I wouldn't be good enough to tell you. Let me tell you. That's exactly what God does. You see, God looks over the world. The world sort of become a junk pile. But God makes sure that it's a junk pile. You know what? You look at Moses, and he became that trophy for God. You look at